As I was driving back home, I told my wife, any Christian does that, God is waiting for you in front. God will destroy and frustrate everything you try to do. Why? My glory I will share with no one else. You know, that man, I told the story, the issue that he had faith in connections. Are you getting my point? So you see how he built his life. It cost him money. And of course, let me not even go there because I'll get back to, I'll try and get there in my message, all right? Okay, that's what I want to talk about today. Let me just pause that. I'll get back to that gist. But why I went into it prematurely is that everybody has faith in something. And when I say faith in something now, I don't mean faith in America. No, that's not what I mean. I mean faith as an example in media, public opinion. They are the ones that now create that, okay, if you go to Australia, you will do it. If you go to North Africa, you know, or you go to Middle East, you will do it. They are the ones that create it. You watch so much CNN, they give you words, it gives you an expectation. Except that your expectation is only as sure as the veracity of the evidence it is based upon. So this is how it works. When I take the word of God, you understand? And it forms. Now, people think that faith, that a hope is like, I want something. Hope is not, I want something. I need to clarify that. Hope is not, I want something. Let me say it again. Hope is not what I want. Hope is what I expect because I have a reason to expect it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Hope is that which I expect because I have a reason to expect it. It has nothing to do with what I want. If I don't like the hope, then I have to go and look for something to use to change it. That's just the way it is. In fact, one of the things, when we get into that series, it is finished, I will explain some things. A Christian's life is that God has prepared everything. And one of the things you do in giving your life to Christ is that you are changing your own mindset and you are just accepting everything that God says He prepared for you. That's all. That's all. That is, assuming you were amongst those who were brought up to believe that, what is a man doing with plenty? Once you have enough money to eat, you should just be happy and relaxed like that. And listen, it's godly mindset. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it. Then one day you are reading the scriptures. And it says you have been blessed to be a blessing. Listen, whether you like it or not, instantly you must change your mind to realize that this is my life. I cannot just have enough. I must go beyond enough. Because if I don't go beyond enough, how will I superabound to every good work? Look, do you understand my point? Let me give another example, just to use my life as an example. I like quietness. You may not believe me for the amount of talking I do. What I mean is this. I get irritable if I get into a house, maybe, and there's too many people all over the place. I'm one of those people that, people say that they grew up in a room that had 8 children and 2 parents. And I'm worried for you. Not because I'm not thinking of poverty. I'm thinking of how did you people manage? Because if it's me, I will run. Not because I would rather stay on a tree. That's just the way I have always been. When we were young that time, we had this family friend. Well-to-do guy, you understand? But this man, we noticed that in his family, you understand, in his house, you get there today, there's always one cousin, one brother. You know the way Africans are. This man was taking care of everybody. So one day my mother was just in the house, we were talking about it. My mother just admired it. Oh, beautiful thing and all of that. I told my mother, square, like me, I can't do that too. I'm sure she felt like, oh, this is my son, he's such a wicked soul. You know that kind of thing. Now, I'm going somewhere. My reason was just, not because I was wicked to anybody, it's just that I want to come home, no noise, I just go in somewhere gently, and I settle down. I don't want disturbance around my soul. As I began to grow, I began to study the word of God. I realized that my natural mindset is not good. That is, it wasn't about desire. I just realized it was not good. So I told myself nicely, don't make the mistake of marrying a girl that thinks like you. But I married a woman whose Like my friend would say, Mama Adugbo. You know what they call Mama Adugbo? Mama of neighborhood. You know, I just told the, I told, now, you know, the thing is, I told the Lord straight. I have to, my wife had better be neighborhood mama, because me, otherwise, two of us are going to have a bad name. Don't mind those people. You know, that kind of thing. By the time I married my wife, I knew the Lord answered my prayer. My wife is not only, that is, if you, one day we almost quarreled because somebody wanted to park into the next house. My wife to go and knock, hey, hello, who are you people? I said, Mama, come back here first. Where did you go? One day she turned into a prayer point that she has to have friends in the neighborhood. Now they look like, what is wrong with this quietness that God has blessed you with? Now, why did I bring up that gist? Okay. How did I change? That's what I'm talking about. The difference between expectation and desire. It was simply that I read the scriptures. And for that reason, listen, I have never stayed in a small house. You know, the way God does things, I had nothing to do, you know, since I married. We came to Enugu. The first flat we stayed in, man, his and his wife alone. That's a single man and single wife. I was about to say single man and single wife. I mean, me and my wife, no children. No friend, no family, nobody, just two of us. God arranged it. I wanted just a flat. I got one that had 5 rooms. And I rented it. I liked it. That is the smallest house I have lived in till today. Why? Because my mentality is that I like quietness. So I said, if I have a guest, they have to have a place to stay. So every house, he must have space for my guests. And I said simply, I need to be able to dispatch my children to all of you downstairs so that there will be peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding around me. And you know the funny thing? That desire has always created things around me. I hope you're getting my point. Now, the point I'm making is that how did that desire come about? It was not my natural desire. It was because as I was growing and realizing what life was about, I knew what my life would be. I'm explaining the difference between expectation now and desire. So this new expectation I had, I suddenly realized that things have to be different. So even when I was willing to settle for a small house, God said, it won't work. Oh boy, you know it will not work. I've seen people that have houses bigger than mine. You can't find space to put your head to sleep overnight. Why? Like I told my wife, when you don't make space in your heart, you will never find space around you. Are you getting my point? So because I'm bringing an issue that it wasn't just what I desired naturally, but just observing, I said, oh boy, this life has a particular order that created an expectation. Expectation is not based on desires. It's based on evidence. Many people desire good things, but they expect bad things. And it is the expectation of the righteous that is fulfilled, not his desires. There's a world of difference between your expectation and your desires. It's your expectation that God fulfills. That's what the Bible calls hope. You know, this gospel that when you have a desire, when you have a hope, you look for faith to make it solid. It's not the scriptures. It makes life hard. People walk from the other way around. They first desire something, they now try to look for how they can convince themselves and God that they should have it. It's not supposed to be like that. The way it's supposed to be is that you're living a good, righteous, godly life. We'll begin that meme in about 2 weeks' time, talking about it is finished. Then you pick the scriptures, and it says simply to you, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It's not about desire. You've just discovered how your life is going to be. You've just discovered how your life is going to be. Abraham was walking around jejeli. I want you to understand something. By the time Abraham said to God, what do you give me, seeing that I go childless? You know what that means? I have accepted the fact that I will go childless. in place of having a child, what will you give me? You are getting my point? Now, this is how it is. God now said to him, who said you are childless? Your wife will indeed bear you a child. Are you getting what I'm saying? He personally, it was at that point, it wasn't about desire, it was expectation. What do you give me, seeing that I go what? Childless. And God said, no, you will not go childless. Your wife will indeed bear you a son. And the Bible says, Abraham now believed God. And it was counted to him for what? Righteousness. He never went to God to say, God, please give me children. It was God that said, come, I will give you children. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. It was God's idea. And when he accepted it, the Bible says, wow. God said, this man is a righteous man. That is, he now had a new expectation. And that's why when you read the book of Romans chapter 4, he said, in hope, against hope, he believed. That is, initially he had an expectation. And then when he met God said, no, 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 no. You are getting it wrong. This is what I am going to do in your life. Abraham said, in that case, do it. Let it be unto me, using the words of Mary, according to your word. And he said, good. This man believed us. He's a righteous man. What am I saying? A Christian's hope is based upon not desire, but discovery. What they discover that God has said about them. The other day, my wife was telling me that, please, we'll pray for somebody about something. I said, I'm sorry, they are Christians. I said, I will not pray. Why? She was trying to explain to me. I said, why I disagree with them is that the pressure you tell me that they are under is formed by societal norms, not by the scriptures. I said, I cannot muster any faith in my heart to pray for them. I said, if you have given me a scripture, all right, that this is what the Bible says, their life is not going that way, then I turn it to a matter of prayer. I don't know whether you're getting honestly. Society forms, you know, expectations for people. They're now under pressure because of societal expectation. Let me give an example, all right? Just to give an example. There are many examples, all right? Maybe society says that, okay, by the age of 40, you should have built your household. You are now under pressure. You now come to me, that I should pray for you. And I say, what should I pray for? You say, you know, in our village, if by 40 you have not built, you are seen as cursed. So, you know, the way I will look at you, you will know you came to the wrong pastor. You come to me, say, pray. I say, what? I have three children. They are all girls. The next one, I want it to be a boy. So that and I should pray. Me. I, Banky, open my mouth and pray for you. Are you an unbeliever? If you say yes, okay, fine. We will pray. But if you're a Christian, when I'm through with you, you won't listen to me again. Or you will repent. It's one of the two. Yes. There are things I won't join you about. Listen. I tell people that, listen, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to teach the world how to behave. Don't put me under, they cannot put me under their own pressure. I refuse. The only thing that's allowed to pressure me is the word of God. I get my point? I come under, in quotes now, pressure to conform my life with what God has said, not what society says. Say, in our village, if you don't have a big car, they will not respect you. That's your village problem. You know that. It's not God's problem. It's not my problem. I pray it will not be your problem. In fact, if you have a big car, please, next Christmas, go with the keke napep. Go and hire a keke napep. Stand by. Throughout that period, carry you from here to the village. So it's like, say, ah, where your motor? Say, and there. Where the motor? That one now. That yellow thing, yes. That's a keke, yes, it's mine. And let the buffoon there that doesn't realize that the size of his car does not give him wisdom. Let him know that that's what you think. You know, we sometimes bend down for the world's ideas. And now start sowing. That's a lot of this nonsense seed we sow. That's the problem. You've been sowing seed to match up with your cousin. As if you and him are running the same race. That is what the problem is. And that's why some of our faiths don't work. They don't work. They can't work.
If faith cannot work, how can it work? You are asking God to come down to your stupid level. It will not work. When you come to God like that, say, God, you know, say Christmas, they come. This last Christmas, I escaped. You know, I told them we're doing something in my office. I couldn't go. But Lord, I'm going to give you 9 months advance notice. So you can prepare something for me before the next Christmas. So God is looking. You know, there are prayers you pray that will prolong your poverty for by extra, 1 extra year. Did you hear what I said? Be careful. You know, Bible says, guard your steps. Watch your mouth when you come near the temple of God. Draw near with a closed mouth. Draw near to do what? To listen. Because some people will pray prayers. God just said, Gabriel. Ginger Gabriel will come. Yes, sir. Where's the car? The one that we're about to send to him. He's about to reach Enugu. Stop him for nightmare. Freeze the tire there 1 whole year. Yes, my Lord. And he goes away. Then one angel will now come and say, Lord, we know you are always wise, but we just want to know the wisdom in that. He said, look at this foolish boy. He wants to turn this blessing into an idol. He wants to turn this blessing into a form of competition when he goes home in Christmas. Listen, until he realizes, in fact, until he goes home with a keke and a pep, we won't buy him a car. That is, with joy, come when everybody has arrived. Come late, you know, come late. When you know, is it youth, when the youth age group, when the age group have gathered, he say, ah, where's Chukwudi? That's him coming. Then you arrive, you vroom, 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 you know. What is that? He says, Chukwudi. And he comes and says, hey, guys, how now? Who get this Lamborghini that you laugh there, feel happy, and talk to them without any inferiority complex? God said, until you get to that level, I'm going to leave you here. You better go. You see, that's some prayer points. Some prayer points are a problem. Any day you pray them, God say, 1 more year. Some of it, I tell you the truth. I will not tell you lies. Some of the prayer points we pray is the reason why we can't move from where we are. Because God said, this boy hasn't gotten the point. This girl is very stupid. She doesn't understand what I'm talking about. You go and pray, say, God, you know Amaka has married. You know Angela has married. You know, you account as you finish counting all of them. Anytime they'll be looking at me like this, they'll be looking at me. Lord, that's why I have come with this seed. Since you are so, you can't see they've all married. Your eyes can't see that I'm the only one remaining. I have come with this seed to open your eyes. Since God, you know they see. You understand my point? Since your eyes too dull to be able to appreciate all my maids I have married, here is the seed for the cleansing of your eyes. God just said, Gabriel will show up. Where is that brother that was heading her house? Confuse him. On a head in that direction. Confuse him. That's it, though. The guy is in confusion. Why? Because you prayed him. If you had just closed your mouth, you know, just zift, don't see anything, he will have arrived sooner. Because the scripture makes it clear. You have not because you ask not. When you do ask, you ask amiss. How? Because you want to spend on your lust. And you see it, you are competing with one another. You say, how come there is envy and jealousy amongst you? Because you desire what somebody else is having. So God says, oh, why? Sow this seed. But pian can like this, I am giving you. Why? You have not done what is right with your heart. One of the things I learned is that God's is not every prayer point that is not the answer now. The prayer itself, did they provoke God or devoke him? That English, I invented it, you know. There is provoke. What is the opposite of provoke? So I didn't know what to use, so I invented that devoke. You understand my point? Someone said that you use something to provoke God. When Solomon came to God and prayed. What was his prayer? God said, ask for anything. He said, I won't ask you for it, things like, it. Because listen, oh, let me drop this one. Then I hope you are blessed today. Yes. Let me just, because I'm not going to do my message. We'll read it next time and finish it. All right? The Lord is good. Do you know that Christians are very funny? Christians are very funny. God will say, I don't like you doing this thing. I don't want to ask for this thing. This is a man who didn't ask for it. I blessed the man. We'll read the story or refuse to read the story, then show up before God and prayer point. Lord, those things you said we shouldn't be asking for, we want to start asking you for it right now. You said, don't worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and where you shall be clothed. Lord, we are not going to worry about it. What we are just going to do? We are going to declare warfare on it. But for the next 12 weeks, we will not eat until you do it. But we are not going to worry. So every day, you know what I'm saying? Because God said to Solomon, you know what, I'm going to bless you. You did not ask for the lives of your enemies. Then we will go to church. Oh, my enemies. Holy Ghost, fire. Someone said, scatter. Die, 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 die. The very thing that God said, Solomon did not ask for. And is the reason he blessed him. Then we will start a whole church. Let me ask you a simple question. How do you think God is thinking about your prayer point? I walked up to Solomon. I said, what do you want me to do for you? Solomon said, just make sure, Lord, that I have the most important resource to fulfill the assignment you have given me in this life. And I said, what about the life of your enemies? Wealth, riches, honor, long life? You didn't ask for that? Or is that right? Good. Because you did not ask for it, I will now give you everything. Then we turn around and say, you know what? Lord, we know anything we ask you can do. So all we want this week is the life of our enemies. Every enemy that says we will not progress, die. If God was pleased with Solomon, what scripture do you need for me to prove to you he is displeased with you? And I don't want to hear any nonsense testimony. Yes, so one brother prayer, the man next door died. So the man is now your enemy. Everybody that dies this week is your enemy. People no go die again unless you pray, Abby. And peradventure, you are the one that killed him. Hey, I don't have time to go into it. But you'll have realized that, assuming now you came to work, and one man said, I'm your enemy. You will not make progress. And you went back home and you started binding and dying him. You know what I'm saying? You kill him, kill him, kill him. Ekpa, ekpa. After killing the man, one thing you will miss. Listen to this. So this is how God responds. One thing you will miss is the enemy that did not look you in the face and declare that he's your enemy. The next person you will take as a friend will be an enemy, but because you did not suspect him, you will never pray against him. Because God said, okay, you want to be picking your prayer points by yourself. In Solomon's case, he didn't ask for the life of his enemies, but go and check what happened to his enemies. They were so subtle, in which they will say, good morning. And the Holy Spirit will say, see that good morning? Is the cue that he's supposed to use to ignite this, and this against you. Fire him. Solomon just say, come, you. Why did you tell me good morning? The man will be surprised that Solomon had read all his intentions. You see, what are you talking about? Go and listen to what he did to Adonijah. Is there Adonijah? Yes. Adonijah just came up to Bathsheba. Asked my brother to give me this particular girl. Honest, so honest that Solomon's mother did not notice. But the Holy Spirit just opened his eyes. He just saw the plot. That it was a serious coup they were planning. The main guys were in it. How do we initiate it? Just go, take that girl. Once you do, then you will declare that actually, the reason why you have married this girl is because it is truly you that David gave the kingdom over to. Nobody knew that. But God gave him that wisdom so that the enemies that were hidden, he got them. You know why I'm laughing at Christians? The very things that God said don't make prayer points. It is the very things we have made prayer points. Let me say this to you, so that those who listen to me, listen to the word of God I pray, they will stop it. Don't ever sow a nonsense seed towards a car, a house, any material things you claim to desire. Don't give towards it. Listen to this. Let all your prayer points about them be dismissive. Now, this is what I mean by dismissive prayer points. It's coming to your mind. You understand? I mean, you're getting married now. You need a car to move around with your wife. And say, look, listen, nobody who says it's not good. It's good. We say it's good. It's good. It has nothing to do with the size that Emeka bought or Chukchuku the bought. I'm not competing with anybody. My life just has to move on with my life. Are you getting my point? It's just my own thing. So the thing comes to my mind. Dismiss it with prayer. And that was what Paul was preaching in Philippians chapter 4. He said, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. That is like, it's a dismissive way of praying. Lord, this thing is coming, please. This is what I like. I hand it over to you so that it doesn't disturb my soul. Hand it over to me the time I will need it. Thank you in Jesus' name. It comes back every time you thank God. No good thing will you withhold from me because I'm your child. You love me. Jesus has paid. Did you get my point? Let me say to you, this paint it on the wall, point to it, so towards the anointed with oil is the reason why the thing will be delayed longer than you thought it would come. Why? Because by doing it, you are breaking the law of God. He said, take no thought. He said, these are the things that the Gentiles pray about. Most of our prayer points, he said, are Gentilic prayers. Another invented word. But you understand? You get what I'm saying? They are Gentile prayers. Such things must never take sleep from you. Take fast, that is, take water and food from you for 1 second. If it's while you are eating, you think about it, give them that dismissive prayer. Not as if it doesn't matter prayer. What I mean is that God, you will take care of it. Bible says, Jesus said it clearly. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He said, for that reason, don't pray like the Gentiles. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. Let me tell you how your life will be. I have to stop now because of time. The message I want to preach today, I will preach it next time. Okay? As you can see, I didn't go into it at all. I was just about to make a point when my mouth just went in this direction. This is how your life will be. One day, Bishop David Oyedepo said, he and Archbishop, they stayed in the same hotel for a program, Archbishop Benson Dawson. And one day, Archbishop said he should kneel down and started to pray for him. Now, from now on, you have the gift of on time. Now, is that gift of on time? I want to tell you how your life will be if you follow the word of God. Whether anybody lays hands on you or not, this is how your life will be. Say, what is on time? It is simple. Actually, it's in the scriptures. That before you have a need, the supply will be waiting. Did you hear what I said? You see, this is how the Christian's life is. When you start working with God, start studying the word of God, you will have a need in front. Supply will come after. I don't know how long after. It can be a day after. It can be a week after. Sometimes a year after. I don't know how long after. But the time will come. As you continue working with God, the pace of release will be getting shorter and shorter. Are you getting my point? That it will happen. That one day you just wake up in the morning, you look at your bank balance, and you turn and say, Lord, what is this for? I don't know whether I get the point. To now become a prayer point. Like, what is this for? Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. What is this for? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. And then your friend will now call you and say, oh boy, I've been trying to reach you. There's a business we have to do. This is how it is. There are going to be 3 of us. Each person has to drop 6.5 million. Now you look, that account balance was exactly 7.1. I don't know whether you get the point. And you tell him, no problem. And he said, let me explain now. He didn't know that there's a reason why you are saying no problem. Said the way it's going to be. Said don't worry, I'm busy now. I'm driving. Call me back later. But put me down for one of the units. It's all right. Then later on, when everything works out, the guy said, you were not even. That's not your thing. You don't understand. God let me know ahead. This was coming. Said, how did he speak to you? He put the money there. You know, after all this one, God whispered to me, and my spirit began to speak. Listen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. You understand my point? But what I disagree with Christians about is to tell me that is the main way by which God does it. That one I disagree. I don't have time to go into it. God speaks to people different ways. That is my own emphasis. Does he speak with your spirit? Yes. In the same manner, he speaks with dropping money in your account before the business opens. That's what I'm trying to, I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to explain here. There are different ways. What is most important is that you commit your ways unto his hands all the time and walk with a pure heart towards him and towards people. God will lead you different ways. I went off time, off tangent a bit, just trying to explain a point. That the way your life will be, a deal is going to come, it will need 6.5 million naira. God will give you 7 million. That you just find 7 million waiting. Waiting. You'll still be wondering, what is this about? Then one day you say, well, maybe I'm still thinking that, well, maybe it's time for me to go and buy that kind of car that I like. So tomorrow, I'll call the dealers. That evening, your friend will call you. And the moment he calls, and you finish discussing the business, and you realize that, say, how much will it cost? And he says to you, it's going to cost 6.5. Instantly, you know that it's not the time for the car yet. That's what it means when the blessing will run after you and then do what? Overtake you. That is, we get there before you do get there. The money was waiting before. Look, this one of, I pray for money before it comes so I can do that business, expand my business, do what I'm supposed to do. It's a phase in life. What did I call it? It's a phase in life. And you will soon get out of that phase. It will come to pass that things will be waiting for you before you realize you needed them. You are not planning to park out of where you are right now. But somebody will come and say, let me show you another house. He said, but I like where I am. Just come, let me show you. I'm not saying you take it, just look at it. When you walk in, your spirit will just blend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? You walk in like this. Say, oh, this is a kind of space exactly that I want. And that's it. You were not planning to move. That's how God leads you. There are different ways. There are different ways. There are people that are married. They were not. That is not like I'm praying. In fact, my wife did not even. She felt I just came to spoil show. When I said, okay, half an hour. I said, me with the look first. I said, all right, let's go marry this year. Ah, waiting. Half an hour. So, and now I went and requested one of my friends, a lady. I said, look at this young woman. I said that, what was that I told her that time that you were saying? Yeah? Free, you know. My wife was a final yesterday when we met. We married during her youth service here. So she had planned that, me too, I will be a free person for a while. You know, that kind of, I go to work, come back, lock my door. You know, that kind of thing. You know. And God says it's not good for you. God says it's not good for you. It's not good. So one day, when she was doing that kind of thing, now I go tell my friend, though. I said, hey, Donna, see what this young woman is saying. He said, freedom. Freedom. These young girls, let me tell her about freedom. Let her come and see me. Let me tell her about freedom. I said, they want to see you. They want to tell you about freedom. I didn't do that either. You know, the other part of it. But the point is this. It was like, Pastor Bill, if I wait small, why should I wait small? If the Lord is good, we have to receive the goodness. And also, let me just add this one and I close. Some of you, I hope nobody here criticizes private jets again. Anybody does? Nobody. All those who are going to prosper in life, they don't do such nonsense. All those who have private jets are going to private places. Is that not so? No, there's a reason why I'm telling you that. In your own life, the day you finally buy a private jet, you feel, some people, conscience, no go let them talk for 1 month. They'll be repenting, say, Lord, everybody I criticize in my life, in Jesus' name, I repent. Because now, Need, they have it. Money, they have it. Ability to buy it, they have it. Then after a while, people will now say, look, this year, you know, of course, when British Airways will have delayed you, Eric will have frustrated you, when one day your company will almost lose a huge business because of you missed a flight, you know, that kind of thing. That's why people will now talk to you, say, okay, the way you are going about it is not good. We have called them Learjet. They've told us how the kind of deal they can give us. All we need to do, sir, now, is drop this amount of money. They will bring it in by next week. We are tired. And you start feeling bad. Souls are perishing. I'm flying private jets. Is it because private jet is a luxury? It's not luxury. It's luxury for poor people who are not going to private places and who don't have private money. I don't know whether I get my point. Like I always say, life is everything we have in life are tools. What did I call them? They are tools. My car is a tool. My house is a tool. Are you getting my point? They are tools. We use them for a purpose. My computer is a tool. I will never hang a computer up and be admiring it. This computer is nice. I have a friend once, he bought the latest Vostro that time, and he'll keep it at home. So I said, what is he doing for you at home? And one day I go to his house, he'll bring it out and show me. Oh, foolish Galatian. I used to yap him now. I said, where's the cock? He said, which cock? I said, cock. Which cock now? I said, the cock you want to sacrifice to this idol that you kept in there. I said, Banky, get away. I said, it's an idol. Maybe I should bring a fowl for you. Cut the head. Bring computer me will use. He says it's the latest boss true. It's the latest. God knows me. Israel also knows me apart from God. Many people know me. My wife knows me. As the computer is coming out from the park, he took away the first to establish the second. If we did not need it, why did we buy it? I used to buy belt. Those as a young man. Inside market, I removed the old one. Wear the new one. It looks good. That's the end. The old one, old things have what? Passed away. What is all of this thing holding on to? What I'm going to say is that that's how we see life. Let me say to you, that is how you also see a private jet. They will never put your own in the papers because you are not. Are you two-faced? You look like the bunch. I know your name starts with P. There's no square in front of your own. Are you getting my point? You are just you. You are going where you are going. You are not competing with anybody. That's how it is. That's how it is. Now, why did I go into that? Just to add down for your life before I go. The day you will buy your own too, it's not competition with anybody. It's because you are providing jobs, all right, for tens of thousands. Every time you waste, people are losing jobs and losing productivity. So you say, no, it's time to stop wasting God's resources. We have to be a good manager. To be a good manager, they say, bring us a layer. Say, a whole layer. They say, okay, don't worry. The company can afford it. But then you won't feel bad at that time because I have warned you ahead of time. Did you hear what I said? That will be your portion.
Amen.
It's called on time. What did I call it?
On time.
What did I call it?
On time.
That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please, my message for today, I'll preach it next time. For those of you who made me go like this, God will bless you. Because I don't know why I preach like this. I came with a different message. I'll preach it next time. But I hope you are blessed today.
Yes.
Let's bow down heads and quickly let's thank the Lord. Thanks, Father. We thank you.